There are 26 bones in your foot, and most of them are very easy to break, except for one. One is large and strong, and it allows us to turn our feet into weapons, powerful weapons. That is, of course, the heel. We just refer to it as the heel. The doctors have a different term for it, but it is the strong bone at the end of your foot that can absolutely do a tremendous amount of damage. And it is that bone that is referenced in Psalm 41 and verse 9, where it says, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." When it says lifted up his heel against him, it's not a term of some sort of disrespect, as in some cultures where if you show them the bottom of your feet, you've just been incredibly rude. This is a description of that stomp, that crushing blow of having somebody below you, your enemy, and you have this victorious, damaging stomp on them. Only in this case, it's not the enemy. In this case, it's a description of your friend stomping on the person you care about, the person you like, the person who has been your friend. This, of course, then is referenced by Jesus in John chapter 13, when he has gathered his disciples around and they're partaking of the Lord's Supper. When he's gathered his disciples around and he is washing their feet. He makes reference to this in John 13, verse 10. Jesus tells them, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" And he comes back to this statement about "you are not all clean," that there's one of you that there's a problem with. In verse 18, says, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me.'" And so here's this time when they have gathered together for food. And Jesus is saying, as you eat with me, as my friends, one of you is getting ready to stomp on me. We use a different term. We don't talk about lifting our heel against us. We talk about kicking somebody while they're down. And that really is the picture here. And Jesus really was down. This was his low moment. In John chapter 12 and verse 27... before Jesus got down to wash their feet, before the institution of the Lord's Supper, but not very much before, Jesus says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour." And so here he comes to this moment where he knows the time has come, the time to be betrayed, the time to be arrested, the time to be crucified. That time has come. And he says, "It troubles me." And then he offers up the Lord's Supper. And immediately following that, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38, as they leave from that building and they go over to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is getting ready to pray, Jesus says this, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And here he is saying, the inward pain that I am experiencing is enough to kill me as it is. And while he's saying that, Judas is off, gathering together the forces and getting ready to tell them, this is where he is at. And through the night then, Jesus is praying. And it is Luke who describes the way Jesus is feeling right at this moment. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, as Jesus is in the garden and praying, it says, "Being in agony, he was praying fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." The phrase we use is kicking them while they're down, and Jesus was indeed down. His soul was troubled to the point of death. He was in agony to the point where his sweat became like blood. And while he's doing that, Judas is saying, "This way, this way, this is where he's at." And so then, when we're on Luke, we'll just go ahead and read the account. Luke chapter 22 and verse 47. While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those who were around him saw that he was going, what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, stop! No more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come against him, have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness are yours. And the very next thing it says is they arrested him. So here Jesus is in this moment of despair and pain, and Judas comes up and with a kiss betrays him. And the question is, what did that feel like for Jesus? And that's what's being described to us in Psalm 41 and verse 9. That's what's being described for us by Jesus in John 13 and verse 18. It's not just what Judas did, it's how it felt. It felt like Jesus had been emotionally brought to the ground, and Judas had come up and just kicked him. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're remembering Jesus. We're remembering what happened to him. We're remembering how it felt. But you know what else we're doing? We're making a declaration of fellowship. And in this particular case, one thing we need to do as we partake of the Lord's Supper is remember the heel of Judas and the way that felt for Jesus. But to think about our own heels and think about the fact that I don't want to be like Judas. This master, this Lord, this Son of God, this healer, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to treat him like dirt. But in Hebrews chapter 10, while not using the exact same language, it is using a very similar picture. It warns a bit about what happens when we go through our days not caring, willfully sinning. Starting in verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? And has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace. So when you and I allow sin to be in our life, when we allow it, when we don't fight it, he's saying we're not very much different than Judas. We've taken our feet and stepped on him, treated him like dirt, like an enemy. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper, let's remember the way Jesus felt because of what Judas did. And let us have in our heart a resolve, I will not treat him that way myself. Let us partake of the Lord's Supper.